Hello and welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. My co-host as always, Harris Richard. How you doing on this Saturday morning, Harris?
What's going on, man? A lot going on, a lot of animosity in the league. And what we saw at the Garden the other night was something I don't know if I would ever see take place at the world's most famous, Nick.
Yeah, no, that was definitely some interesting stuff. The Knicks have gave us – they haven't been good on the basketball court, but they've been entertaining off the court. Derrick Rose going AWOL, the Phil Jackson, Carmelo Anthony drama, now Charles Oakley and James Dolan. Tonight, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. So a lot to talk about, and then we have some sad news with Jabari Parker. But let's start right with the Knicks. You know, this is a big, big situation. This has more than just the impact of, you know, disrespecting a Knick great. Wednesday night, Charles Oakley was in attendance to the Knicks game, and it was against the Clippers. And then it seemed that something happened. Security approached him. He physically pushed them away, and then he was taken away and arrested. You know, a lot has come out of this. James Dolan has commented. The Knicks have commented. Before we get to that, what are your initial thoughts when you saw Charles Oakley being escorted out of the Knicks arena?
Well, it's obviously sad. And obviously we know the Knicks have struggled for years. And Oakley is someone who's really respected amongst the fan base of New York because of what he really represented and the style of play.
Respected really well by NBA players. You saw a lot of players, you know, post on Twitter what they thought about the situation.
Yeah, and MJ is a close friend of his. I think he mentioned that he reached out. But let's put all that aside. And I want to talk about, you know, a couple of red flags for me. I mean, first off, why does he have to buy a ticket?
Yeah, exactly. Why does he have to buy a ticket?
We know that this has been an ongoing clash between him and Dolan. And whether it's because Oakley was critical of the Knicks organization, there has to be something more personal than that. And I think Oakley has always tend to think that the problems that have become of the Knicks organization has been Dolan's responsibility and fault. And I think that's obviously where the feud began, with Oakley putting blame on Dolan and even goes as far as saying, if I would eat dinner with him, I'd poison his food. He said some outrageous things about him in the past. And he's wanted to meet with him several times. But I think there's a lot that Oakley leaves out in this story. If you've heard some of the interviews and things like that, I think Oakley's leaving out, when you're sitting four rows away and he goes, I'm sitting a few rows away, how could he hear me over 20,000 people? Well, if you're screaming at him or saying things to him, he's going to hear it. And obviously, Dolan is always notified when Oakley's in the building. And I think when I heard Oakley on Mike and Mike, I turned to my dad and I said, I think he might be in the wrong. And I'm not taking sides, and Dolan's right, Oakley's right. It's a mess of a situation, but he came on Mike and Mike, like getting mad at Mike and Mike for like putting up the pictures that they put up from the other night. So very unfortunate and sad situation, but I think there's a lot being left out.
I mean, there's obviously something left out, but regardless, no matter what happened, the Knicks handled the situation wrong.
They did.
You know, like I said this to you off air, I heard other people say this, you know, Oakley was causing an issue. You know, you have maybe one or two guys go up to him and be like, Mr. Oakley, we need you to move. We'll put you in a suite. We don't want you sitting this close to Dolan, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But instead they roll up with like 10 guys. They like surround him. You know, obviously any person's going to feel uncomfortable like that. And if you know the guy, maybe he does get mad a little, physical altercations. You know, he didn't handle that right. He admitted he was wrong about that. But then, you know, have the 10 guys then tackle him and escort him out, and then he's arrested on three charges. And then the Knicks PR to come out and say, you know, Oak, we hope he gets the help that he needs, insinuating that there's like something wrong with him. So I felt like that, you know, it's just like that's not your place to say as the Knicks, and it's just an ugly look. And then Dolan made it even worse. But what were your thoughts when you saw, you know, the PR post that? And
yeah, the lifetime ban comes out a day later.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really just, like you said, not a good look for them and the way they're treating their past players. I think the biggest mistake, and you had mentioned, was running up on them with 10 guys. I think maybe you sit someone next to him, maybe talk to him a little bit, like, hey, what's the issue here? I think for me, from my personal opinion, it was probably one of those situations where he was getting on Dolan and or even if he didn't say anything or did say anything, Dolan just didn't want him to be there. And it's a frustrating time for everybody, top to bottom in the organization, with all the negativity surrounding them right now. And, you know, Oakley being a guy that has a lot of pride in the team and wants to see the team do well is frustrated by what's transpired and what Dolan has allowed to happen.
Yeah, and then Dolan went on and he was talking about Oakley, and he might have set himself up for a lawsuit. I know a lot of people have posted about that. He took shots at Oakley, saying, you know, he has a drug or alcohol problem. He was saying sexual or racial overtones on the things that he was saying at the arena, and that he needs some help. So, I mean, Dolan set himself up for that. But enough about that point of it. Just from the Knicks fan and the Knicks perspective, attracting future NBA players is not going to be easy. You have Dolan, who people already didn't want to play for. They already heard about this type of things. Now, I sure wouldn't want to play for him. You know, I'm all-time great in your arena, and you make me buy tickets, and then you ban me, and you kick me out and embarrass me in front of the national spotlight. And then you have Phil Jackson, who's fighting with Carmelo Anthony, and then just all that drama.
Owner, these are some of the situations that come out and incidents that make you realize that who is running the ship and the ownership of how important it is in professional sports. And a lot of people think about rosters, they think about GMs, they think about coaches, but they don't think about the importance of positive and leadership and the importance of having an owner in place that sometimes knows when to get out of the way in basketball operations and knows when to step in and make a move and knows when to, you know, hire this person or that person and has the respect of all the employees and the way the building is run. And there's so many little things that go into the success of a franchise that a lot of, you know, casual basketball fans might not think of.
Yeah, Harris, you nailed it right on the head when you said the employees in the building, you know, the front office, the whole entire organization. And that's been something talked about, is that there's just a negative energy around the Knicks from top to bottom, not just the players, not just the relationship between Phil Jackson and Carmelo. It's just everything. There's just like some sort of black cloud there, and it's just not a healthy environment, and it's not attractive for future employees and future players.
Well, we've touched on the Knicks' failures and their inability to go deep into the postseason. And you had told me before we went on air about, you know, him, Oakley, having more postseason wins than Dolan in his entire tenure. And we know the Knicks haven't been into the conference finals since 99 when Dolan took over. And we know about their, you know, I think of only one, like, what, two playoff series, maybe one.
Yeah, I think so, it might be one.
One. So it's obviously, we know about the failure. But when situations like this arise, we might find out why. We tend to find out why. It's unfortunate because I don't know if there's ever been a town more starving for a winner. We know New Yorkers understand basketball. They do. They are. We know they are emotional, and New York people, and we are emotional. But it's time. It's definitely time for change, for positive change, and you think about personnel, but now you're starting to think about other things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole entire Knicks season has just been a complete mess, like I talked about before. You know, from top to bottom, it's just like disastrous. And the thing what they need to do right now, I think, is just to go full rebuild. You know, just start right from the bottom and build up with Porzingis. You know, trade out some of the veterans, get rid of Carmelo. Not that Carmelo's done anything wrong in this situation, because he's played this perfectly well, and you know, he's handled it like a professional. But get rid of him, get some assets for him, see if maybe you can get maybe a little something for Derrick Rose, and try your best to drop that Joakim Noah contract. But I would say just go full rebuild from here, and that's your best bet, because attracting free agents is going to be extremely difficult now.
For sure. It's definitely going to be. And I'm interested to see now going forward. You know, last night was really disgraceful on the defensive end in their loss to Denver. But I'm interested to see now, move is Melo being moved? We only have a couple weeks left until the trade deadline. Is, you know, this situation with Dolan and Oakley is probably not going to be resolved. And it's definitely a black cloud that desperately needs to be moved. And
we think, we assume that with Melo leaving, that with it could be, it's almost like hitting the refresh. I think if anybody needs a reset button, it's this team right now.
Yeah, I think it's his team, and I think it's Melo too. He could use the reset. Hornacek came out last night, and he said he was kind of his starters should be embarrassed by like the performance they put up, the defense they had. He should have gave the second unit more minutes. So just everything in this organization.
I'm glad you brought up Hornacek, because he was talking in his post game news conference. He had said something that really stuck with me in the dysfunction and why I don't think he's going to be back next season. He kept saying they instead of we when referring to his own team. I mean, I might have caught like it out of context, but I'm almost positive if you go back to his post-game news conference, a couple of times referring to the way the first unit played, you know, they were giving up, this cut, that cut, or just referring to how they were playing. I'm almost positive that instead of saying, you know, a lot of coaches will say we.
Yeah.
Instead of it's not something how you refer to. I just think there might be just that kind of disconnect right now in the whole group.
I mean, if you were him, would you want to be back? Not really, right? I mean, the front office is a mess. You don't really know what's going on with Phil Jackson and what he's doing. Obviously, nobody's safe with Dolan around. So, I mean, I would be kind of happy if I got another job or had to be an assistant for a year or two or something.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. We're going to get into another messy situation that's going to happen tonight, and that's Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. KD's making his return to OKC tonight. There is a lot of emotion going on right now. Obviously, Durant left OKC after they had the 3-1 lead on Golden State and went to Golden State. So the fans didn't take too well to that, similar to LeBron James leaving Cleveland the first time. Burned jerseys, a lot of hatred, a lot of trash talk. I saw some shirts that spelt coward with a K, and they highlighted the K and the D. So what do you expect tonight just from the fans and the KD point?
Wow, this is going to be fantastic television. I think you can make
a big-time playoff game.
Yeah, you can make the argument that it'll be the most anticipated regular season game since LeBron's return to Cleveland the first time back in – the first go around back about 4, 5, or 6 years ago. I expect like 85 to 90% booing to go on. I think there might be some positivity as far as maybe that appreciation. I don't think they're going the video route though.
Not yet. Eventually, they will, obviously.
Well, it's gonna fade. Just like remember that first time that LeBron came back, I was like, there's no way this guy's going to come back here in a few years. There's no way. It's impossible. They were treating him like crap in that first game. Like every time he touched it, every time he shot it, I was like, no way this guy's going to come back. So maybe the happy ending is that, you know, Durant finds himself back in OKC, but I don't know. I think this is going to be obviously must watch television. The relationship between him and Westbrook is fun to watch, the lack thereof. And the fact that, you know, Westbrook has had this team playing what would you consider over their heads without Cantor now, beating the Cavs the other night.
Yeah, that was a big win. I mean, I think this is going to be Kevin Durant definitely knows what he's going into this game. I read an article. He reached out to a few different people. He's going to have extra security. He's going to handle the situation. I don't know if Durant's going to have he's either going to have a really good game or a really bad game. That's what I think. I mean, emotionally, he'll either feed off of it or it'll distract him to the point where he's not able to really play at the highest level. What do you think of the two is more likely to happen?
Two out of what?
If he's going to have a really good game or a really bad game.
He's going to play well. I think he's going to play really well. I think just like in the first or couple, he's been averaging 39 against them. But yeah. I think in the first one, they were really, you know, let's do this for KD. But those both games were at home. And you know, obviously, in the comfort of your own home, it's a little bit different than going back into this hostile environment. And I think as loud as you're going to see a regular season game, and I think that the Warriors are going to do everything they can to try to make this a regular game for him, which is going to be tough. But they're going to try to, you know, they're going to probably try to, you know, get him going early, I would assume. I think they're just going to try to take that pressure off of him. And I think he'll play well. I think the Warriors are going to win tonight, and I think the Durant will play well.
Bigger game tonight, Russell Westbrook or Kevin Durant?
numbers wise, I think Westbrook's going to have to obviously do more, but I think Durant's going to play really, really well tonight. I think the Warriors are going to make it a point out for him to get touches early and often, and I think they're going to go in there and get a big win on the road.
Do you think they can lose this game, or you think it's almost a lock to the Warriors win this game?
I don't think it's a lock. I usually see the Thunder going in there and playing fantastic.
And they're coming off a back-to-back.
Both teams are, right?
Did OKC play last night?
No, I think it's all, you're right. It's only one team coming off a back-to-back. Yeah, it's going to – honestly, I could see obviously many different things happening, but I think more something tells me that Durant's going to play really, really well. With Westbrook, he obviously has to he's responsible for more, but I don't know if they have enough, man, with Cantor out. I don't know if they, I mean, they might just go, they're going to go straight off emotion and try
to win that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. I want OKC to win.
You do.
I do. I want OKC to win. I mean, I think the Warriors will probably win the game. It would have to come like super emotional, and you know, Westbrook would have to put up probably like 40. I think Durant has a pretty good game. I don't think he has like a ridiculous game. I think he might be a touch flustered at the start. You know, in the first quarter, he might be.
It's going to be so
emotional. Like, it's one of those situations, like kind of when you see a player play like their first playoff game or, you know, their first like finals game or something like that. They're just like, there's so much adrenaline that they can't even like shoot the ball right.
Yeah.
And I mean, he played there for 8 years. He was a big part of the team in the community. And one good thing about, I'll say this, a shout out Kevin Durant. Obviously, I don't agree with his decision to go to Golden State, but he has stayed in touch with, you know, the OKC community and continued to donate and support them, which is always a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems that it's just the Westbrook thing that is the only missing link to why this has made some people feel like it's a betrayal or it's a backstab.
Yeah, I think at some point he probably has to apologize to Westbrook, not for leaving him, because I don't think he has to apologize for that, just for the way he handled that situation. Especially, like, you know, this week a lot of people have turned back and look at the stuff that he has said about Westbrook and said about the team in like such a positive way, and saying he wasn't going to leave, he wanted to stay in OKC, or even his MVP speech where he talked about Russell and the criticism he receives. So I think we'll hear more about that relationship and maybe having something fixed along those lines, maybe All-Star weekend. But for tonight, I don't think anything happens. Maybe the only way I could see like Durant and Westbrook like shaking hands if OKC wins.
Yeah, I think this is still a while. We're still a while away.
Do you think at All-Star weekend that they're going to, you know, maybe his Golden State teammates are going to try to help him mend this relationship, or other all-stars there?
Yeah, I always wondered how that would work, you know, with the fact that he has going to
play practice too.
That they have to, I don't know how much communication they're going to do. I mean, maybe the media is blowing it out of proportion, like we said, or, you know, just the way it looks on the court. And when we've seen these two interact, it doesn't look like, you know.
It doesn't look fake to me.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, Westbrook doesn't seem very fake at all, in my opinion. I mean, I would kind of, I wouldn't see him as a guy that would play the storylines and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I'm pretty excited about it. Another thing that's not happening, though, I think Zaza Pachulia is out tonight. And we know Zaza took that cheap shot at Westbrook last time. And Westbrook said after the game that he was going to get him back.
I was kind of really cash him outside. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping for that, to be honest. I mean,
that was something to look forward to. Yeah. For yeah. Sure.
I could definitely see Westbrook, you know, dunking on him or doing some type of thing to him.
Any chance of a fight, you think, or no?
I don't know. There could be, you know,
Cantor out. Adam's still there.
And, you know, I'll say this. Golden State really banged around Westbrook the last few times they played. Like, some of that was Zaza, but they definitely didn't mind fouling him hard. So, I mean, I could see OKC get a little antsy, especially if the game gets out of hand. They have some chippy players. And, you know, Golden State's not really going to back down. But I don't think we'll see a fight. I hope we see a game winner from Durant or Westbrook. That would be amazing.
Man, Durant game winner from Durant would be sensational.
But that definitely, like you said, that's must-watch TV. I don't think I'm pretty excited for this game. Like, I'm like already, you know, trying to plan out my day to make sure I'm all ready to go when that comes on.
Yeah, crazy. Got it. Must see. Must see. If ever a basketball fan, and I guess almost for anybody, for a casual fan or anybody that just enjoys
just a sports fan. Yeah. I mean, if you enjoy headlines or storylines. So then we got to talk about some bad news. Sadly, this week on Wednesday night, the Bucks got back Chris Middleton, but they lost one of their rising stars in Jabari Parker, who tore his ACL in his left knee once again. This is really terrible. Sad news. Jabari came back. You know, last year he came back. This year he was looking healthy. He was looking like he was about to be an all-star, averaging career highs, you know, around 20 points a game. Had some of the best dunks of the season. And now he tears his ACL again, and it sucks for the Bucks too, because right when they're getting Chris Middleton back, ready to make that playoff push and really look like that deadly team we thought they were, they lose one of their best players.
Very sad. Same knee. So I was devastated to hear this because, you know, I'm a big Jabari fan. And this is just extremely unfortunate. And, you know, he same high school as Derrick Rose in Chicago. So just a couple of Chicago guys that have had some unfortunate, you know, injuries.
That's crazy that they both have had ACL injuries twice.
Multiple, yeah, same high school. It's unfortunate, it really is, because like you said, that's a good young group over there. And, you know, you obviously you root for them and you root for Parker. And, you know, he seems like a pretty likable guy. I mean, he plays the game the right way, slasher, you know, athletic, could shoot it, has definitely improved, came back stronger after his knee injury. And now, you know, he's being tested again, got support from around the league. And there's really not much to be said on it, just for the fact that, you know, it's sad to see, because they have some potential over there. They have some good young pieces.
Yeah, and they said it's probably going to be a 12-month process, the rehab process. So he won't be back until some point in next season, not even the start.
Way after the start. He'll be back at this point next year.
Yeah, pretty much. If you, from the Bucks perspective, you know, from the front office perspective, and you look at the situation, what do you think about Parker? Do you think he's going to be able to get back to that high level, or do you just have to start thinking about him as no longer one of your building blocks, one of your star players, but maybe just like a complimentary player? Because coming back from that injury twice is extremely difficult.
Now that it's a year, you're going to have to start thinking, you know, alternative plan, just because of this, you know, having the injury, the severity twice. I think they'll think of him as somebody that can help them in the future. And I
just think a wild card
there, but this definitely impacts his role going forward. I know they've always felt like they could build around the Greek Freak, which they can. But obviously having complimentary pieces and having guys around him is important. I think this will definitely take a hit. Not to say that he won't be able to recover, because he recovered once, and I'm not putting him past that he could recover again, but definitely a challenge for him.
Yeah, and he's turning 22 next month, so he is young, which obviously is, you know, on his side. From the Bucks, it just sucks so bad because Middleton just came back and you're kind of getting your core together.
Yep.
I mean, do you still think the Bucks can make the playoffs? They got Chris Middleton back. Obviously, three-point shooting has been a serious issue for them, and he's obviously their best shooter and maybe their best natural scorer. So what would
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
You don't think they'll make the playoffs?
No, I don't think so.
Emotionally, it's tough for this team to get over a loss like that too, because obviously he's a key contributor, and you see him go down, and you know it's tough to get past, because obviously Middleton's not going to be back to 100% and not for like a week or two.
Well, just I think those top, like barring any injuries, those top six seeds are cemented pretty much. And you know, after that, you're now looking at Chicago, Detroit, Charlotte, Miami. Those are four teams battling for the last two spots, and now Milwaukee takes that hit. They're still, you know, a couple games behind, and I like all of those teams' odds better than I like Milwaukee's right now.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. I mean, I think it's still possible, because all those teams you mentioned, none of them are like, oh, wow, they're extremely good. The Heat are on a 13-game winning streak.
Shout out to the Heat.
Yeah, but they're still six games under 500, so that says a little bit about, you know, just their overall team. So, I mean, in the Hornets, we obviously talked about their struggles. The Pistons never really lived up to the hype, and the Bulls have kind of just been a mess. So, I mean,
will
I think
– they take their winning streak into the All-Star break?
Do we know who they match up with the next few games or no?
Well, yeah, they have Philly.
Okay. They already beat Philly, I think, on the streak.
They're at Philly. Let me check what the next two, because that would be crazy if they ended up taking this.
Well, they're at the point the Heat right now where they're not just like playing because of their talent level and not winning these games. It's just like the confidence they have, the energy, the emotion. I could see last night when they played the Nets, they just have like some swag about them that they like think they're going to win all these games, and they are like, oh, we're killing it right now. And even these like D-League call-up guys, like White is coming. Well, what did you tell me? He hasn't lost a game.
No, he hasn't. Well, they're at Philly, then Orlando at home. They could win that game. And then the last game before the All-Star break is going to be the toughest to take this winning streak into. They're at Houston. So if they can win that game, that would be 16.
I think their streak started because they beat Houston.
They did. It was at home. Yeah, no, you're right, at home, yeah.
So that would be really intriguing.
Could start and end with Houston in all likelihood.
Yeah, very true. Last night, it was almost the first time in a long time, I think, two teams would – double-digit streaks met. The Nets had, I think, a 10-game losing streak or something along those lines, and then the Heat were on their winning streak. And for a second there, I thought the Nets might end it, but obviously that didn't happen. It's been a tough season.
Brooke had 30. He had a good game.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to talk about the Nets. I obviously know no one wants to talk about them, but the Nets just suck so bad at getting Brooke Lopez the ball when they need a bucket.
Yeah.
Like, I just so tough to watch a team that doesn't have like a true point guard healthy that can just get your players the ball position to succeed. So, all you teams that have good point guards right now, Jeremy Lin's obviously a good point guard, but he's out. Just enjoy that. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you definitely are envious of several teams around the association, because in a league right now that's flooded with point guards.
I have to watch Spencer Dinwiddie and Isaiah Whitehead. Not Nick to say anything, but now
we've been bashing the Knicks too. Still only 3.5 out. Kind of crazy though. That bottom of the East is just.
Yeah, I mean, but it's crazy. The Knicks are almost out. Oh, Brandon Jennings tweeted the other night, it'll be so embarrassing if we don't make the playoffs. Like, heads up, Brandon Jennings, you're probably not going to make the playoffs. Like, the Knicks coming into the season, it's funny that so many people were so hyped on them. You know, we kind of said even keel. Like, I didn't want to give them, like, the benefit of the doubt that they're going to be good, because I didn't really think – I thought there was just so many issues, so many things to worry about. They'd be in that 6-8 seed range, but they've even made me look bad in that aspect. I think they're pretty much a lock not to make the playoffs, because it looks like they're going to make a move to be sellers at the deadline.
Yeah, and you know what? The 4-game losing streak has all come at home.
Yeah.
Cleveland at home last Saturday. The Laker game was embarrassing. The Clipper game they had on Wednesday night. Then Denver, now San Antonio tomorrow, which
you know they're getting cooked by San Antonio probably.
Well, you never know, but probably most likely. And then at Oklahoma City to close out before the break.
And OKC needs wins. We didn't really talk about it when we talked about Durant going to OKC tonight, but OKC needs wins. Like, obviously Golden State really is comfortable. They're killing it. But OKC is in that 7th seed. They're I think a game behind the Grizz, like 2 or 3 games behind the Clippers. So all these games really matter for them. They want to finish hot. They just beat the Cavs. So if they can beat the Cavs and then beat the Warriors, they can really build some good momentum going into the All-Star break.
Definitely excited. Definitely excited about tonight. And that's going to be something to watch. Definitely something to watch.
Any big weekend plans for you, Harry?
Uncle's in town. He's been in town for a while. And so I don't think we might do something tonight, go out or something with him. He's from Florida, so
that's cool.
Nothing crazy.
You survived the blizzard the other day?
We survived the blizzard. We did. I was out there shoveling my butt off for about 3 hours. And
that's a good back workout. We need to get a snow blower.
I know. No, my neighbor had one, so he's helping us out.
Okay, good.
But you know, it is what it is. I can't, you know me, I can't wait for the winter to get over. I can't wait for the spring. And spring brings out so much happiness in me. I got my Mets start up again. I got the NBA playoffs. I got the tail end of March Madness.
NFL draft.
Yeah, the month of April is a lot of
– And the sunlight, obviously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They obviously don't really – I've only lived in Stanford for a few months, and this is like the first significant storm we've got. And they don't really handle the snow well here, because my road that I live on where my apartment's at still has probably about 2 inches of snow. And yesterday it was just like a sheet of ice. So, still some after effects.
Well, you know what? It's better than Poughkeepsie, Nick.
Well, I'll say this: in Poughkeepsie, they handled the snow very well.
Yeah, they do, I'm just talking about as far as usually like accumulation.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I used to get like a couple feet every year. So, I mean, I'm not. I didn't really hate the snow because I always had a car with four-wheel drive, and I've always had like a snow plow or a snow blower, so a little bit of luxury. So, I mean, I don't hate the cold as much as you, but obviously, the older you get, I feel like the more you dislike it, and the more you're like, all right, let it be warm again.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Hopefully, we're done with blizzards. I don't want to have to deal with that.
But that wraps it up for this episode. We'll catch you guys on Wednesday, and then next Saturday we'll have All-Star Special, so keep an eye out for that. And as always, thanks for listening.
All right, guys, take care. Have a good one. Enjoy the battle tonight.